Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. My guest is Dr. Stephanie Buehler. She's a psychologist and a sex therapist, the founder of the Buehler Institute in Newport Beach, California. Once again, welcome to Love, Lust, and Laughter, Dr. Stephanie. It's so good to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me on, and it's so good to hear you today.
Thank you, and you too. Dr. Stephanie was on this program a couple of times last year, and maybe even three times before, but anyway, today we're going to cover a number of really appropriate, timely subjects, including transgender health and, of course, Caitlyn Jenner, who's so much in the news. We're also going to talk about pelvic pain and the training program that Dr. Stephanie Buehler has at her Institute for Sex Therapists. But as a way to introduce you and for me as the host to talk a little bit about what we've learned as sex therapists, I think the listeners would be interested because we have, most of us, of course, have built on the work of Masters and Johnson. And so Dr. Stephanie and myself and others, we've learned that a lot of people's dissatisfactions about sex come from misinformation, what else, negative attitudes, anxiety, poor communication, and maybe even unrealistic expectations. Is that an overview that you would agree with?
Yes. I was just thinking as you were listing this off, I thought, oh, wow, that's so succinct, and that's very true.
Yeah.
That there is a lot of misinformation. People don't know their basic anatomy. Right? They don't even know their own bodies and where things go and what they're called and
Recently, I had a new client, here in the U.S. from India, but maybe less than a year, and he and his wife hadn't had intercourse forever, and he was unaware of where the clitoris was and what its function was. Education is really, a lot of people are told lies about sex. Like that sex is natural and simple and you should just automatically know how to do it. And that sex is spontaneous, so you don't need to talk about it, just do it. And what else? Great sex is all about.
If the relationship is working, the sex will be fine.
Exactly. That sex is gender. Men are from sex-crazed Mars and women are soft and... They're from soft and romantic Venus. That's another lie.
Right. Definitely not true for everyone.
No. And that there's a right way and a wrong way to have sex. Lots of people believe that, too. As an aside, some folks wonder about sex therapists' private sex lives. And I found this one survey quite fascinating. Sex therapists reported that they didn't necessarily have wilder sex lives, but they had it without anxiety. And that's a result of all the knowledge about sex. Isn't that a fascinating? Have you heard of that survey before?
No, I haven't. No.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
I think sex therapists can have struggles too as they go through the life course, but I don't think we're anxious about it. I think we talk things out with a partner, to go get help from a physician or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, what are some of the other things that you've learned as a sex therapist before we get into the topics, transgender, pelvic pain, and your training program? What are some of the things you've learned as a sex therapist? Because you've been in practice now, over 20 years?
Yeah, so I've been doing this now for 15 years.
15,
I would say
okay.
It's interesting to me that sometimes people are misguided or afraid to look at the whole constellation of symptoms that can cause sexual problems. So, for example, I have people who come into my office who really need to be seen by a medical doctor, and they're very resistant because they don't want something wrong with their body. And then I hear from medical doctors and nurses and so forth that when they mention seeing a psychologist or a sex therapist, that the person is very resistant. They don't want something wrong with their mind. And really, I think that's the wrong approach. I think we should just see it in terms of what do we need to do to get healthy.
Right.
And sometimes we need to treat both the medical piece and the psychological piece in order to really get things working properly and functioning properly and have good mental health. So that's one of the things I've learned. And then I think the other is that not to let problems go on too long.
Right.
People who come in and they've been struggling along for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years with sexual problems and have resisted getting help. And, you know, sometimes we can still fix things, you know, or help them fix things. And we don't really fix things for people. They have to work on the problem themselves, but we can give
exactly.
them guidance, and sometimes things work out. But the longer people go without help, the more stuff is festering underneath, and it just takes that much more work to, make things right. So I would say, you know, people need to, once they see there's a problem that they can't solve themselves or can't solve together as a couple, they should call somebody and get some help, not hesitate.
I've had a number of couples over the years. For me, it's now just over 30 years of practice, and some of them have been in their 50s and 60s, and they've said, oh, we wished we'd come to you for help like 20 years ago. I read somewhere that the average length of time that couples, or individuals even, wait to get help is 7 years. And so that's
too.
A lot of, when you think about it, that's a lot of wasted time when you could be having more fun and more play and more
right.
intimacy.
Right. I trade 7 years of suffering for 7 years of pleasure any day.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. And because, you know, it's really true that a disinterest in lovemaking can escalate into a vicious cycle of frustration and ultimately alienation. And so, you know, for couples having sex, it's when they really are in trouble, it can help to have the physical intimacy and the comfort that healthy and sexual intimacy provides. And, of course,
absolutely.
The touching that gives us oxytocin and all that good stuff.
Right, right, right. We're supposed to, you know, a healthy couple will lean on each other for support, and sometimes that support comes in the form of physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's really no substitute for that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and I love it that oxytocin is a positive feedback loop, because the more we're touched, the more we want to be touched, and it calms us and it bonds us, and oxytocin's pretty amazing.
It is.
And it's in breast milk, so it helps the mother and the baby bond.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, right. And, you know, actually, sex causes a whole cascade of chemicals. Dopamine. Dopamine
mm-hmm.
makes us feel good and rewarded. And serotonin. That
mm-hmm.
helps our brains feel happy. And opioids. Those can help with pain management. Some people
yes.
find that after they've had sex that some of their chronic pain actually feels better, especially if they were able to have an orgasm. And it's supposed to have, orgasms are supposed to help with migraines,
yeah.
menstrual cramps, chronic back pain, all kinds of things. So it's not just a matter of bonding the couple. It's also keeping our own body healthy.
keeping it running the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I think if older people remain sexual, they're often so much healthier. Of course, they need to be healthy as an older person, say somebody over 65. They need to be healthy to have good sex anyway.
Right.
And men will not necessarily have erectile dysfunction if they're healthy. And if women get some kind of bioidentical or hormone replacement therapy, then their vaginas are less likely to get painfully dry, and so that painful intercourse is less likely.
Correct.
Yeah. So, before we get into some of the meat of the program, and these were topics that you had suggested in our pre-interview, which I think are excellent. But going back, Dr. Stephanie, what got you into the field? I know you're a psychologist, but what got you into the field?
Right. So that wasn't my original plan, but I ended up working with adults who had health problems. And because of that, I was introduced to an endocrinologist. And, you know, as you know, endocrinologists help people balance their hormones. And she told me that people came to her quite often because they didn't have any sex drive. And they wanted her to test their hormones, mainly to see if they had enough, you know, men seeing if they had enough testosterone, women seeing if their estrogen was what it needed to be, and even their testosterone as well. And what the endocrinologist said to me is, you know, it's hardly ever hormones that is the problem. It's more often the relationship, or it's being overcommitted and, you know, worn out, or it's insomnia or depression or something else. And so if we are going to work together, I think it would be a really good idea for you to learn sex therapy. And when I heard that, something went off in my head, and I went, that sounds really interesting. And it was interesting, and I haven't looked back, and that's really how I got into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, that meant working with a lot of people. I worked with a lot of people with diabetes and all other kinds of endocrine problems. We'll just say endocrine problems, and other illnesses as well, and helping that people to have an optimal sex life.
Well, in California, after I got my master's in marriage family therapy, 3,000 hours. I was then in California, as I think you know. Now I'm in Seattle, but with stops in between. But anyway, I had to earn 3,000 hours before I could go to Sacramento and take a written and then an oral exam. So one of my internships was at the VA in Menlo Park. And at the time, there were guys who were there. This was an inpatient substance abuse ward. And there were guys even from Vietnam era at the time I was there. And many of them had never had sexual relations without being high on something, a drug or alcohol. And so they asked if I would do a sex education program. And, you know, when God was passing out talents, I got ease in talking about sex, I think. And so it wasn't too hard for me to do it. I mean, I did my homework and found I could talk to these veterans about sexuality. And then another internship I ultimately got was with Dr. Maria Flaherty. She's retired now, but you may know the name, and she was wonderful. And we co-led two women's sexuality groups together where the women had all had abuse for 11 years. So I decided I really wanted to become a board-certified sex therapist and add that on to my licensed marriage and family therapy, because I think our sexuality is at our core of who we are. And And, you know, it's actually more fun than working with somebody who's depressed and suicidal, to put it mildly.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, yes, it definitely is. It definitely is. You know, I've worked, there was a time when I worked with a lot of people who had depression and anxiety.
Yes.
And, you know, and I like helping people feel better mm-hmm. no matter what. But that actually that the treatment of those issues becomes quite repetitive because mm-hmm. they're really kind of all the same thing. You know, our thoughts generating feelings of sadness and or worry. And
yes.
so
the negative self-talk,
that,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And but I find with sexuality, it's so varied. Every case that walks into my office is almost completely different from
yes.
any other case. You know, and so that keeps it very interesting for me.
And
I'm never bored.
It's also a little more measurable. So, say
mm-hmm.
The female client starts having orgasms. Or the
right.
the male client stops being a premature ejaculator or has less trouble with erectile dysfunction or the mismatched
yes.
desire couples. I just saw a couple this morning and I've seen them, I guess, about 8 or 9 times now, and they're already so much better. They're having sex
yeah.
twice a week instead of once a month. And it isn't just the quantity of time, quantity, it's the quality of the lovemaking. So that's
yes.
all, that makes you happy, doesn't it, as a therapist, that
yes.
you have facilitated this kind of joy, play.
Yes, exactly, right. There's kind of a beginning, middle, and end to doing sex therapy. And when things end well, they end very well, and people are so glad that they got the help.
Yes, and it is true that some people drop out a little early because it's just it's too confrontative for them. They may have other problems that their sex problems are masking, and they're just not really ready to put the work in.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, you know, I have found that. Couples don't always want what they say they want in bed, that in some cases deeper emotional conflicts need to be uncovered and dealt with in order to help the couple fully enjoy their sexual expressions and a loving relationship.
Right. That's true, but, you know, as we said before, people sometimes wait such a long time, and so,
yes.
you know, conflict has built up over time. And, you know, you start pulling, it's like having a ball of yarn, a knotted ball, and you pull one thing and something else is being tugged. And,
yes.
and you go over there and try and tug on that or pull on that, and that tugs something else. And, you know, they have a big knot to undo. And, you know, not everybody chooses to work on that knot for whatever reason. And, you know, not every case is a happy success, has a happy ending. But that's
no,
interesting. Those
we wish it were
most
so,
cases
but it,
really
it,
have a happy ending.
No.
You know, the satisfaction that they are, you know, going to have a normal or an optimal. I like to use the word optimal because who knows what normal is. But
oh, I like
you know,
that. Thank you for
life.
That. Because
yeah.
there are so many clients who say, well, what's normal? And I'll resist the question, because normal can be across a range. And
right.
so I like optimal. That's good. That's very good. So you like sex therapy so much that we were going to talk about this last, but let's kind of segue into the training program now, before we talk about transgender health and pelvic pain,
sure.
because you're about to launch a really important training program. Could you talk about that, Stephanie?
Yes. So I have a couple of, I actually have 3 programs going, but the one that I'm
about to start in about a month, actually. I think it's September 18th, is a live 10-month sex therapy training in Orange County, California. And, you know, I find lots of people don't know where Orange County is. It's nestled right smack in the middle between Los Angeles and San Diego. It's
yes.
a beautiful area of California. And so I have had, last year was the first, the inaugural year, we'll call it the inaugural year of the training program, the live training program. And I had people actually coming from all, like around the country, coming mm-hmm. here to Orange County once a month to learn sex therapy. And we covered everything. We had 150 hours of training in every topic you can imagine, from sexual anatomy to sex as we age and sex with disabilities and kinky sex and men's sexual problems, women's sexual problems, and lots of lively discussion all the way through. It was really a very gratifying, satisfying experience to have these bright therapists come learn with me here to the Buehler Institute.
Yes, and I will write that up on when I do a summary of the program afterwards. But your website where they can get all of the information is the Buehler Institute, B-U-E-H-L-E-R Institute.com. And you'll find lots of things on Dr. Stephanie's site, including the books that she's written about sex. There are about five of them, I think, maybe more.
No, there's just three.
Well, yeah, but I'm looking.
Three.
Okay, three, but maybe I'm considering the e-books in there.
Yeah, so I have one e-book that is called A Heart-Pounding Guide to Passionate Sex.
Yeah.
You can get it only on Kindle, on Amazon, but it's an inexpensive book. I think if you have Kindle Unlimited, I think you can get it for free.
Okay,
otherwise,
that's good.
I think I'm only charging $4.99, and it's that little book, I have to say, it's a gem. It's a diamond in the rough because it gives so much information to couples that are looking for ways to understand their sexuality and have better sex. And it's written, I wrote it in a very straightforward way, and there's
mm-hmm.
no, you know, some of these books on how to have better sex are crude. And
mm-hmm.
I know, you know, I don't mind. For me, I don't really care. But I know for my clients that some of them really don't want crude language. And so I
yeah.
wrote it with those folks in mind. And it's, it's just a lovely little ebook.
Yes.
I've had good feedback on it, but, it's not exactly a runaway bestseller.
Yeah, but it's a good little book and, a nice cover. The pretty
mm-hmm.
lady is bending her head backwards and her partner is kind of about to kiss her neck. It looks
yes.
really good.
Yes.
And, so you cover some of the basics of what makes sex feel good, how to communicate about sex, the role of self-knowledge about pleasure,
yes.
how fantasy can help. Yes. So
yes. even how to have sexual fantasies.
A lot of people don't have a clue
so,
about that, especially
yeah.
women.
Yeah. You know, they
yeah.
say, oh, I've never had a fantasy before. Well,
mm-hmm.
you suppress them because our minds naturally produce fantasies about
mm-hmm.
all kinds of things, and sex is a natural drive. So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let's
so
circle
let's
back to your training at the Buehler Institute. So this is live training launching this next round, September the 18th, 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you meet one weekend a month for 10 months.
Yes.
Yes, and each weekend, now for therapists, and I do find that some of my colleagues will listen to this show, or, you know, especially tune up the archived version. But so they don't get CEs by listening to the show, but but each module for your program is worth 15 CEs, which is really good.
Yes, that's right. So the program is approved by the American Psychological Association, and also by ASECT, the American Association for Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists.
Mm-hmm.
So for any therapist who has interest in getting certified, this fulfills all of the educational requirements for becoming a sex therapist. And, of course, ASECT has some other requirements that include supervision and a special workshop called a SAR, which stands for Sexual Attitude Reassessment.
Right, the SAR.
And, so, you know, but even if certification is not, you know, that doesn't interest everybody, but you could still come and learn an awful lot about human sexuality. We talk about the LGBTQ population. We talk about just everything and anything that you could think of. And I have all kinds of documentaries that we watch and guest speakers. And really, I think what was really cool about the first go-round was that people really did, you know, develop friendships and grow close, which I think is important because sex therapy is a little, as you know, it can get a little lonely because not every therapist feels comfortable talking about sex. And so, you know, meeting other therapists who have the same interests and are on the same journey of helping people in all kinds of communities have better sex is really a wonderful thing. So it's really, to me, the best way to learn is in a live training, although I do have distance learning available
as well. Yes, let's talk about that because we have listeners from actually around the world. So talk about the distance.
One of my goals is to go international.
Yes.
Because I know that there are people around the world that need help with sex. And I know that there are therapists around the world who want to learn sex therapy. But the distance learning program which I'm continually putting coursework up, but it is a distance learning program with 75 units, and it covers core knowledge in sexuality. We're covering topics. I just finished putting up a module on LGBTQ, and it's really varied. One thing about me is in my background, I was an elementary school teacher for 10 years, and I also worked for an educational publishing company for 10 years. And in working with the educational,
I didn't know that.
Yes, right. So in working with the educational publishing company, I had to get very creative. I wrote, wrote and edited a lot of books for teachers to use in their classrooms and on all kinds of topic areas. The stock market and pirates and, everything. All kinds of fun things.
Yeah.
But I had to write all kinds of learning activities and get very creative. So this is different from other programs in that it's varied. So you have a lecture. You might have a lecture from me and then an article to read and then go watch this documentary and look at this article and, it's quiz based because people are going online whenever they wish and doing the coursework, taking a quiz, and they'll get a certificate of completion. So it's a unique program and a way of getting started with sex therapy. And then there's a blended learning program as well because, you know, I don't have enough to do. So I also
I you also say Riley.
I know, you're right, I know.
Because we haven't even broached the sexual pain issue where you're doing some work at Hoag Hospital, but we'll get to that. You're very busy, Dr. Stephanie, but you know, the old saying that when you want something done, find a busy person, and you're motivated. You're motivated, and you're smart, and you've got the experience, and so it's impressive, and I love having you on the program as a guest, I want to say again. And thank you for making time for it in your busy, busy schedule.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So the blended, all right, so you've got the live, you've got the distance learning, and then the blended.
Seems to be, that maybe is the one that's going to be the winner for people that want complete training, because in that one you're going to take the 75 units online, and then, eventually, I'm making changes even as I'm now, but you'll do part of the program online and then part in either 2 or 3 weekends here in Orange County. Long, intensive weekends, you know, bring toothpicks to keep your eyes open because there's a lot of information. It's very intense.
A lot of information, and you'll probably give some of them, you'll have some handouts for people to take home or something like that.
I give quite an extensive outline and handouts, and it's all bound up in a nice booklet. And
good, yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So people can go to your website and learn some more about that, any therapists. And I'll put out the word that people can listen to this program, too. Therapists can listen if they want to get some specialized. I get lots of referrals, as I'm sure you do, from therapists who are smart because they haven't had the training, and so all of these sexual issues come up, and then they refer to somebody like you or somebody like me with a specialty in therapy.
Exactly.
And then I also hear from other couples that, they will have spent a year in therapy with a therapist, and he or she never talks about their sex life, and yet that is the centerpiece of their problems, the elephant in the room. And they never talk about it because the therapist is uncomfortable talking about it.
I know.
And, of course, they also get medical doctors who are very guilty of that sort of thing.
Oh, yes. I spoke to a group of physicians, and I was, I was speaking at one level, and then the questions that I got, I went, oh, my goodness, I needed to be much more, much more basic. And, they don't get training in this. It's really incredible.
Yeah, it is. And then you get depressed women who are perimenopausal or menopausal, and they want, and they don't know what to do about it, and they go to their doctors, and the doctors have 7 minutes with every patient. I heard one doctor say, well, I didn't want to spend more time with her because I was afraid she would cry. And so they then they prescribe an antidepressant. In fact, a client I saw just today, she said, I'm on a very low dose of Prozac, but at least I can have orgasms. She said, I had another antidepressant, but it absolutely shut down her orgasm. So, you know, these medications need to be titrated. But most of the SSRIs make the sexual interest less or the orgasms non-existent.
Right, and if that happens, there's a need to go back to the prescribing physician and have a frank talk about that. Because if that happens and you stay on the antidepressants, and this is true, I'm not exaggerating, it can be very hard to get function back.
That's right.
So don't wait. You know, let the physician know. Don't be embarrassed. They've heard it before. And you can either go on another medication or go on a lower dose.
It gets very complicated. It does indeed. And another thing that's very complicated is transgender health. How about that for a segue? Let's talk about
that's
that.
That's a good segue.
and, of course, Bruce Jenner, who has transitioned to Caitlyn Jenner, and this reality show that she has, I think in general it's so good that it's out there because so many people are just not educated about transgender people. And I read this quote. This is from The Lament of a 5-Year-Old Boy. You know, it starts early. Mommy, why can't they put me back in your tummy and make me come out a girl like I was supposed to? Why did God get it wrong? You know, Caitlyn Jenner's mother was saying when he wanted some girls' toys and girls' clothes, but they kind of laughed at it.
He had to sneak to, he couldn't be his true self, his authentic self. He had to hide in the closet for so long, and then, I just can't even imagine how difficult that would be.
It's, do you know Dr. Mark Schoen's film called Trans? He showed it at one of our conferences, and it is a sensitive, beautiful movie on transgendered people. And it showed at the Berlin Film Festival and several other, high-profile film festivals. And people can see it or get information about it by going to TRANS, TRANS, themovie.com.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that movie. That's one that I show at the training because it's a fabulous film. And actually, the way I found it, you can go on Amazon and rent it. Trans the movie. It tells like a few complete stories about different people's journeys, and a very, very interesting film. I just watched it for the third or fourth time, and it brought me to tears.
Yes, so I had a similar experience. I've seen it maybe 3 times, including once or twice at a couple of our conferences. He's always been active in ASECT or Quad S. So, but Trans the movie, I think he made that film about 5 years ago now, so he was a little ahead of the curve in terms of getting it out there visually and telling people stories.
Right.
Yeah. So you talk in your newsletter about transgender care. And so would you expand on that, please?
Yes. So, there are a few different issues. One is that transgender people get appropriate care. So if they have, all of this gets very complex. So transgender people, not every transgender person undergoes or wants to undergo sex reassignment surgery, where they have surgery, either what they call top surgery, breast augmentation, or best breast removal, or to have a penis reconstructed or a vagina constructed, or a vagina constructed. But those who do need appropriate care, and for women who have a vagina constructed, they need to have, we could call it sort of the vaginal TLC after surgery. And so I am going to be working at Hoag Hospital in their pelvic floor program at Womanology. And they are going to have a transgender post-surgery care program where women who have had vagina construction can go and learn how to, for example, use dilators, which are sort of like a dildo, to keep the vagina open and supple.
Right.
And so it's very, I don't think there are too many programs like this in the country, so I'm very excited. It's something that's just getting underway, so haven't worked with anyone yet, but we're very excited to roll out a program like that. It's very unique.
Well, it ought to get some media attention, and I guess it will. You've got on your website, you've got ABC News,
mm-hmm.
and under transgender care, was that a story that was done?
Let's see. I'm trying to know what I do so much.
I know. ABCnews.go.com, blogs, headlines. I didn't take the time to open it. I should have, but...
I don't think that's one I did. I haven't been on ABC News. But,
okay.
You know, the thing is, the transgender care includes, complicated. So it used to be that transgender people, if they wanted to undergo change, they were required to have a lot of psychotherapy before they were given hormones. And now that is suggested. It is not required except by some doctors. So mm-hmm. it makes it easier for the transgender person to transition if that's what they so desire.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big change. Although most surgeons require some kind of assessment before surgery
yes.
because it's such a serious surgery. You know, as you
exactly.
can imagine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I had an interesting experience in 1994, my goodness, over 20 years ago now, I was in Singapore. I know you were in Singapore recently, but it was something different.
Mm-hmm.
So this was for the World Congress on Impotence back in 94, and they still called it impotence. And
wow.
There was a very interesting surgeon, doctor from Singapore, who was one of the first to develop these surgeries for men transitioning to women and for women transitioning to men. And he had a slideshow back then showing the surgeries. And, of course, fashioning a penis is way more complicated than castrating a man who's going to become a woman and fashioning creating a vagina.
Yes, that's right.
So I think that's why a lot of men to women haven't had the bottom surgery yet. I mean, I guess a few have, but it's
right.
a more complicated surgery.
Right. It's a more complicated surgery. That's right.
Yeah.
Although I just read an article yesterday. I just happened to come across it, a research article saying that most transgender men, most men who have gone through that reassignment surgery actually are happy with the sensitivity in the genitals and so forth. But as you said, it's a much more complicated surgery. I'm guessing it's much more expensive as well.
Yes, yes.
So that's always a concern.
So to preserve genital sensitivity and even the ability to have an orgasm has got to be tricky.
Yes, right. Preserving sensitivity and making
mm-hmm.
sure that there's enough nerve tissue there to
mm-hmm.
make everything work.
Apparently the clitoris and all that's behind it, and as I understand it, the G-spot may be the root of the clitoris, has between 6,000 and 8,000 nerve fibers, and the penis has 4,000. So when there's been genital reassignment, that just has to be very difficult for the surgeon to keep the nerve endings as many as possible.
Oh, yes. I don't know. I actually don't know how many surgeons do it. I know it's not. It is not a common specialty. And actually, yeah. In Trans, the movie, I don't want to, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But one of the women that they show is a surgeon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Navy surgeon who had previously, when she was a he, had been a football player and then a naval officer.
Right.
A very good-looking one. And then before he went to she, and I know Mark Schoen, and he was just thrilled that he got this story because he froze his semen. So then when he transitioned to she and was in a relationship with another woman, they were able to have his baby from his semen that had been his sperm.
Oh, yes. It's really miraculous.
Yeah, it's quite
it's
a story.
It's just amazing. Amazing,
yeah.
You know, that, oh, you know.
And
what
now
a
she is a top surgeon doing this gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah.
I think it's a great story.
Oh, I love that story. That story, oh, yes, that one, take out the hankies.
Right. Yeah. And he was, when he was a he was such a clean-cut looking naval officer, right?
Right. But isn't
and football
sort of like
player and all
Bruce
that.
Bruce Jenner, too, right?
I know. There's some parallels. I bet the two of them end up talking at some point, yes.
There definitely are. And I think, you know, for someone in my age bracket who remembers mm-hmm. watching Bruce Jenner winning gold after gold and, you know, such a hero, and then to learn that this person who's so talented and had so much to give was having such interpersonal and personal struggles.
Mm-hmm.
That's really something to think about that. I hope that things become easier and easier for people in the years to come because of Caitlyn Jenner coming out and telling her story.
And you write, and I like this. Well, first you applaud Caitlyn Jenner for her courage, and then you said your hope is that she can do, that she will do what she can to support women in sports, as so too many talented women go unrewarded or unrecognized.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah.
I think there are going to be a lot of doors opening for Caitlyn Jenner. And because of the reality show, the Kardashian reality show, well, she is now worth millions and millions of dollars. So she has the funds to. And a lot of times people can't get their message out because they don't have the funds.
That is so very true.
yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So before we run out of time, doesn't the hour go quickly?
oh, my goodness, it does.
Yes. So we want to talk about pelvic pain, and you're working with womanology. Is that what it's called again, womanology?
Yes, it's womanology. Actually, it's womanology / Restore Him, because they treat men too.
Right, that's right. And
mm-hmm.
And you sent me the URL womanology.net, but so mm-hmm. people can read about it. But it's also for men too. So it's a pelvic mm-hmm. pain clinic. And what sorts of things will you be doing there?
For the most part, I'll be working with women who because they have, often they have a lot of anxiety and stress, sometimes trauma in their background.
Yes.
And, you know, these things sometimes are held in different parts of the body. The pelvic floor is one of the places where a lot of tension can be held. And so, for example, sometimes women are quite fearful
about having intercourse, and they develop vaginismus. And, and that's sort of a clenching or spasming of the pelvic floor muscle. That's very difficult to undo that spasm or clenching without help from a physical therapist. It can be done with dilators and so forth, but a physical therapist can really do a lot to help women overcome problems like that or problems related to incontinence, issues that happen after the birth of a child or several children. If there's any kind of, irritable bowel syndrome, anything that causes the pelvic floor to become tight and clenched up. And, it's sort of a circular relationship. You know, you can have IBS and that causes your pelvic floor muscles to tighten, or you can have tight pelvic floor muscles and that can contribute to IBS. So, and there's lots, and we never ever say that, oh, the pain is all in your head. But
I work with especially one pelvic floor physical therapist in this area in Seattle, and occasionally another one. And the collaborative effort is essential because therapy won't directly address the physical barrier that defines vaginismus, for instance. And dilation alone may be no match for the intensity of the vaginal spasms and fear of penetration. So this is a collaborative thing, and I think this Hoag Hospital program will be absolutely groundbreaking. And you must feel very privileged to be on the ground floor of this program.
Yes. There are some other, there are definitely a few other programs where there is this type of collaboration, but they are few and far between. I'm very excited to be part of a team approach to helping women and men with pelvic pain and sexual pain disorders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes such a difference when, I don't work very much with men with pelvic floor problems, but I do with women, and when they can have successful intercourse without pain, it's just, and then their male partners are thrilled, typically, and have often suffered, for years, in some cases for years. The men suffer too.
Yes, I know. They go for years, and sometimes they just don't know that there's help. But there is help, and they can make first stop the therapist's office, the sex therapist's office, or they can go to the PT first. Doesn't really matter, because ideally there's a cross referral that happens.
Or they can go to their doctors. I get some referrals from doctors, and even a naturopath that I collaborate with a lot. She, Serena McKenzie, specializes in sexual medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's Bastyr University here in this area, graduates naturopaths, and it's 4 years. It's like going to medical school. And so referrals from doctors or naturopaths can often be also part of the triangular kind of team. So you've got the doctor, you've got the therapist, and you've got the physical therapist specializing in pelvic floor.
Right.
And that's what's necessary, to mm-hmm. address these problems. I feel so privileged to be in this profession. And
absolutely.
I mean, you talked about it's varied, and you get to hear people's stories, and then you get to facilitate a difference and make a difference. I was thinking, too, that most sexual dysfunction has multiple etiologies. They span from psychological, sometimes cardiovascular, to this pelvic floor dysfunction that we've been talking about. So that's why a multidisciplinary approach is critical.
Definitely.
Yeah, they'll get the best care.
Absolutely. That's how things can be resolved, you know. So if somebody who is listening has been doing one and not the other, they really need to consider having a team, having three, like you said, three people, having their physician or nurse practitioner, naturopath, osteopath, you know, a therapist and a physical therapist. And, you know, when those people work together, they do. I do talk to the therapist and physician to refer to me or to whom I refer, and try to figure out what's going to be the best course of treatment to get the problem resolved and get the person happy and functioning and on their way, enjoying life.
Enjoying life, exactly. Because most people do have, they do want a better, well, we see them, it's sort of self-selected sample, but they want a better sex life. They know that they could have more fun and more play and more pleasure if they were more responsive sexually. And, you know, I'm segueing a little bit because we have to finish up the program a couple of minutes before the top of the hour. But so I've noticed that when people, and now I'm talking even in social situations, and I want to get your reaction to this, when they find out I'm a sex therapist, sometimes their eyes light up. They're either, some of them may be intimidated thinking I must know everything, or they're just plain curious, because the most basic thing I've learned as a sex therapist is that most everyone has a question about sex. And that's why we have this program, actually, my Love, Lust, and Laughter program, because I want to address, well, relationship problems too, but they're all intertwined, right, and sexuality problems. So hopefully our program. So have you had that sort of reaction when people find out in social situations that you're a sex therapist?
Yes, definitely. I don't always share it because, you know, sometimes I don't feel I'm sort of done for the day, done talking about sex for the day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but people who know what I do, you know, friends and so forth, they're always curious about what I'm up to.
Of course. And so I think we probably have answered a lot of questions that people had about various aspects of sexuality today. And Dr. Stephanie, thank you so much for being my guest. And pretty soon the producer is apt to play the music, so we'll talk until that happens, but usually it is a couple minutes.
See, there it is.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks again, Dr. Stephanie, and I'll put up a summary of the program and people can find out more. And I'll have you back again down the line when you have a moment. Thank you.
Thank you.